Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Boat.
There you
boat.
Go.
Boat, 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 boat.
Yeah.
Boat. Boat. Boat, 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 boat. 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 Game. Classy. Boat. 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 Boat.
That should be our new theme song from now on.
Classy.
Including me saying this and saying this.
Classy. Boat. 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 Boat.
We gotta put in some fresh, funky, like lo-fi hip-hop beats to study by on there.
To study slash relax.
X. Yeah, study too. Slash relax. I do that for my...
I actually love the lo-fi hip-hop beats. I listen to them at work.
I mean, I do it all the time at work, too, because, like, when I have, all right, guys, it's paper writing time, and I give them, like, a class period to, like, work on their actual paper.
You put on the lo-fi hip-hop study beats?
I do, because it's...
To study slash relax, too?
What I do is I turn it up really loud, too, so they can't talk. So they want to like talk to each other. It's just like really loud and obnoxious. It's like,
yes, like you have to listen to the lo-fi.
Yeah, I like so it screws up with their heads a little bit too.
Nice.
Sometimes I like to use the high frequency sounds that only teenagers can hear because I can't really hear it anymore. Yeah, I sometimes do that. I just turn it on in my pocket and just let it go. Just to, like
nice.
I gotta mess with the teenagers a little bit.
I finished the most recent season of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
The show's pretty good.
Yeah. It's over. It's done. It's gone.
They're not doing another season?
No. You are so far... You are like... You're like Slowpoke. You are the Pokemon...
But it's...
Human
it's,
equivalent of Slowpoke.
But it's not over.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Stars canceled it.
No!
Because people were like, fuck Stars. I'm going to watch it on Netflix when it comes out a year and a half later.
I mean, yeah.
You're the reason it got canceled, Steve. You're the reason. You did it. Congratulations.
Well, it's unfortunate. They should have had Stars now.
I'm not arguing that, but... Well, yeah, I... What was I going to say? Oh.
Well, that's okay. His journey will live on Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah, there's the DLC character. I've said it before. I've said it on Play On. I've said it on this cast. I just don't understand like how people get so fucking exciting about fighting games. I can't do it. I'm happy for you guys. You guys are like, oh, cool, you got Mortal Kombat 11 coming out. But it's like, I don't get it. Pat gets really super excited. He's like, I got a new Mortal Kombat. I got my new Street Fighter stand-up arcade. I'm like, cool.
You know why you don't get it? Because you're an old man.
I'm out of touch
with the youth.
I'm playing Earthbound right now.
That game's fun.
I've never actually played it all the way through.
It's fun.
Yeah. It's interesting to say the least.
Yeah, it's fun. There's some good gags in there. I like it. There's some weird characters. I like the dude who's like super strong. He's like, I'm so strong. All I do is lift weights and eat garlic.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I was, it's very odd. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
from what I don't remember much of it.
It is odd.
Yeah. And also the graphics, not as good as I remember being.
Well, I mean, it's old, but
kid.
I mean, the visuals are still pretty good for... a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
I love the soundtrack is like 10 out of 10. That's like my favorite part about the game. Like the battle music and stuff. Yes, Punch Out.
That's my go-to battle music.
Punch Out?
Yes.
That's fair.
Anyway, welcome to Game Classy, everybody. My name is Joe, and with me, as always, my co-host, Steve.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello.
Before we get into anything else, I just want to acknowledge our friends at Titan Forge for sending us some sweet, 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 sweet swag.
Yeah.
From their new Kickstarter.
Fucking dope-ass ogre pirates.
Yeah. Steve was talking, actually, last week about doing a 1,000-point Age of Sigmar games once the new rules drop, and he was like, I'm going to get some Titan Forge ogres. You got to do it now if you haven't pledged already, because I think the Kickstarter ends today.
Dope-ass fucking ogres.
Yeah, so they sent over just a couple of the models. Their resin casting... Not that, guys, like, listen, Titanforge, I love you guys. And your casting was great when you did your last few Kickstarters, but you guys have gotten so far above and beyond where you were, I don't know, when this podcast started, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He looks so nice.
The little dude with the accordion and the dodo that goes on his shoulder.
I think this might be one of my favorite models, like, ever. just full stop. Like, he's so fucking cool.
I know, and here's the funny thing. It's like, you look at Games Workshop, which is supposed to be the epitome, or at least the top mainstream manufacturer, and their ogres are goddamn terrible.
Well, you know, it's I don't think they're that terrible. But
I think they're awful.
I also really like their raiders, the dudes who ride on the big beasts. I like those guys a lot.
Well, yeah, those are the latest of the sculpts,
right,
yeah.
Which is that's the current ogre army. Like, the other ogres haven't been updated since 6th edition.
That's true.
And the ogre army they're pushing is the riders. But that aside, it's because you can't get the level of, like, characterfulness and, like, cool shit in multi-part plastics. That's yeah. what it is. You like this dude, this awesome fucking accordion dude, he would never exist as a GW model because that's not their business model. They don't do cool single characters. They're like, buy 6 boxes of this thing and put it together.
Multi-part plastics.
So, I mean, like, they're great, and, like, they make sense for, you know, what you need them for, which is your infantry and, like, your goons you're gonna paint a shit ton of, but, like, you know, these are something else.
Yeah, they're really fucking sweet.
And he's got a dodo. Like, it's the best.
I mean, it's a really, like, and the guy with the shark skin,
Yeah, he's cool too. I don't want to downplay the captain. He's very cool. He's wearing a fucking shark as a cape.
Yeah, and he's got, like, a big fucking anchor as
a weapon. Yeah, his weapon is an anchor.
Like, it's a sweet army altogether.
Very, very cool.
And we didn't get any of the Amazons, but definitely I do really like the Amazon army that
the lizard
men. Yeah, well, the Amazons riding lizards.
The Amazon lizardmen. They're that's a cool army. It's clearly, like, that's a counts as lizardman army. It looks dope.
Yeah, and they also sent the ogre captain riding the crab, and I kept him because I was like, I'm not gonna let Steve have this.
They actually have another model of crab riders.
Yeah,
they
do.
There's
they
like the two guys on the back of the crab.
Yeah, with the guns or whatever, the harpoon.
Yeah, that's also pretty fucking sick.
I know, and as I say, I've said this before 1,000 times. We have no integrity here at Game Classy. We are not like we'll promote the things that we like.
We are Integrity Farms.
Yeah. But you know what? Sending us some models to look at and Google over, that's going to make us like promote your stuff even more. So I'm just saying.
I don't know. I think we have some integrity because I'm fairly certain if you sent us something crappy, we would definitely shit on it.
Well, yeah, we've done that before.
Yeah.
I mean, not like a company sending us stuff we don't usually shit on. But that's because most companies that send us stuff usually send us some pretty high quality.
Yeah,
shit.
I was gonna say, like, I don't think
mostly we shit on, like, European candy.
Yeah, it's like it's not a. Well, I don't know. Most of the, I think, not to like fucking jerk ourselves off, but I think like most of the stuff we like and promote is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's a.
We love the things we love. We hate the things we hate.
Also, I don't think that there's.
And we hate the things you love.
I don't think there. I don't believe there are currently any active tabletop companies producing miniatures that are producing like objectively foul models. I think all of the models,
like, even Malifaux doesn't have terrible models.
No, like, their models are fine. Like, they're yeah. I don't like their aesthetic, but the models are good.
Yeah,
like, I'm not gonna say their sculpts are bad because they're cool looking. They have that unit of Japanese ghosts. They look fucking awesome. It doesn't make any goddamn sense why there's Japanese ghosts in a game with fucking hillbilly goblins, but like, the models are cool.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. It's like, I would buy those models to like paint and use them for something. Certainly not to play Malifaux, but the models are cool. You know, like, I think that's just I think that more speaks to the level of talent in the industry at this point. Like,
well, I also think the great sieve has happened. Like, after the initial boom of wargaming, it's like the sieve happened where everything just kind of got through and only the good things went through.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like, okay, so once all of this shit went through, we only have this good stuff. And now you have to compete with the stuff that survived the Great Sieve.
Right, okay, yeah, because all the mediocre to bad stuff has been just weeded out.
Yeah, and there's still some bad stuff. Trust me. I've seen a lot of it on Kickstarter and whatever else have you.
Oh, of course. I mean, there's never not going to be, but like, there's
bad sculptors just went into 3D sculpting, so they just try and sell their files through Patreon and
what's that,
Kickstarter.
Shapeways?
Well, Shapeways too, where they're like, hey, subscribe to my Patreon to get these cool 3D model, you know, renders that you could print on your 3D printer. And it's like, first of all, your models are shit. Second of all, my 3D printer is not good enough to print 28 millimeter models. So let's ease up here, you know. You got to do it through the resin printers, which I have to get because I have a problem. As Steve has said numerous times.
It's true. Does it just like goop resin into a shape?
It does. It's really cool.
Nice.
The
coolest 3D printer I've seen is the one that makes helmets, like motorcycle helmets.
Yeah.
Because it just uses a cube of steel. And it like it goes in like the center of the thing, or maybe it's aluminum. I don't know, whatever it is. It's fucking dope because it just like an arm grabs the cube and it goes like, whoink, and then it just starts spinning.
Yeah.
And then the cube starts like going, whoa, 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 and these things just start whapping it. And then suddenly it's like, helmet.
Yeah. I don't know if that's technically considered a 3D printer, but I guess it would be.
It did. It's a 3D printer.
Yeah.
It prints using material,
yeah,
using other stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just helmets. It makes other things.
Yeah. It's whatever. It doesn't matter. I have a very nice plastic one that I do some really cool terrain on. So that's all that I use it for, and that's all that I ever really need to use it for. Because if I ever found out a way to making like miniatures using a 3D printer, like legit really good 28mm printed figures, my life would be over. It just would be. I would
just have super long fingernails, like a giant beard, and they have Kleenex boxes on your feet, and you're just like, I've got to print another Space Marine.
Aside from the Kleenex boxes, you've just described yourself.
Hey, I don't have a really long beard. I just have a beard.
You have a pretty long. Your beard's pretty long right now.
I think so?
Yeah, it's you gotta keep that trimmed a little bit.
No way.
You gotta just bring it back.
Never.
I'm not saying you can't grow it long. I'm just saying you have to take care of it when it's that long.
Man, I wish I had Kleenex boxes on my feet.
And jars of urine in your closet.
No, I drink the urine.
It's sterile. And it tastes good.
It's necessary? No. But it's sterile, and I like the taste.
Yeah. That was kind of what we got in the mail there on that.
It's a mailbag.
I guess the big news is the UK Games Expo. What happened this weekend? Which is
UK Games Sexpo.
The Sexpo, where a bunch of British people have British sex. Almost, and done.
There we are.
Let's see what's on the BBC Two.
Nice.
Today on the BBC Two, we have our coverage of the UK Sexpo.
I actually saw something pretty vulgar from UK Twitter, which I really enjoyed. Was these fucking what do they call? I don't know what they call. There's a word for bros in the
chavs.
UK. Chavs. Okay, yeah. So there's some chavs walking down the street, and they're all talking to each other. And there's this fucking like the camera just pans to the right, and there's this dude just like finger blasting a lady in like the middle of a fucking alley. And they're like, they're just walking by, and he just turns and looks at me. He's like, lads. and they're like, right. And he's like, all right. And they just fucking walk by. I was like, that's. All right. I was like, that's a thing that happened.
It truly is.
Lads. It's like, I mean, you're already, what are you going to do? Lads.
So there was a bunch of, you know, it was a lot of, it's kind of like our origins, I would say, if I had to put a comparison to anything.
Our Assassin's Creed origins.
Or the Origins Game Festival in, you know, Columbus, Ohio.
Nobody goes to that.
People do. People really like Origins.
Yeah, I kind of actually do want to go to Origins.
I kind of do, too, because Columbus has an amazing food scene, from what I hear. They have, like, an all-you-could-eat sausage restaurant.
That's a lot of sausage.
I know, because we're from Chicago, and we can eat a lot of sausage.
They still ate a sausage. You got to complain about it the whole time. They'll be like, yeah, this sausage isn't as good as old Dick Portillo's. And then you just start eating more of the sausage while you're talking about it.
I love me some Portillo's.
Dick Portillo's. They have a pretty good fish sandwich.
They do. I just don't normally get it.
I'm on the pesca. So.
Oh, you're pescatarian now.
Yeah, it's a fish sandwich. Hey.
There you go. I like fish as much as next. I'm always worried about my mercury levels though.
Hey, you know what? If I can get enough to go insane or insaner, I'm okay.
Yeah, I was
with
gonna
that.
Say. You're almost mad as a hatter as we speak.
I'm okay with that. I will get a big. I used to have a sweet mad hatter hat. I don't know what the fuck happened to it.
You stopped playing Malifaux.
I had it before the foe.
what you heard about Malifaux just shrunk down to a regular size
hat. It just
hat.
Became a normal. No, it just turned into a normal hat, like a flat, just like a regular, like, snapback.
Yeah. I'll cover the Games Workshop stuff, the news that came out of there just in a second. But what they, a story that I saw in there that was kind of, it made some news, it made some big news, is that they actually had to escort a DM out of the convention.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that was pretty fucked up.
Yeah, so they were running an RPG, and he had his, his players participate in a gang rape.
No, no, no. He had their characters gang raped.
Oh,
not
gang,
participate.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
he had them like knocked out and had their characters gang raped.
They're still participating in a gang rape.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, you know. Well, let's not split hairs on this. There was a gang rape involved inside of the...
Pretty fucked up.
Yeah. So, and he was like, what? What?
Yeah, I like the shock value.
That was his actual quote. Yeah. I like the shock value of it.
So he was dismissed, and he's banned from teacher events.
You are dismissed. Good taste.
Yeah, that's some poor taste.
Oh, my God. It's like... I was talking about this with my wife, because she's... not a gamer at all. She doesn't understand gaming. She doesn't understand this world, which is part of the reason why we're still married. In that, you know, when you think about it, like you, as in Steve, when you think about it, back in the 90s, 2000s, RPGs and stuff like that were not mainstream. Like, yes, even the most
mainstream one was Vampire.
Well, the most mainstream one was Dungeons & Dragons, because that was the one that had the name cachet.
Well, when third came out, yeah, but like in that period of time when it was advanced, it was in the early 90s, Vampire was like,
yeah, but it's still
fucking gigantic.
Everybody, well, and that's even so is that Dungeons and Dragons through the Satanic Panic of the 1980s, everyone was like, oh, Dungeons and Dragons makes you worship the devil. Oh, and then there were some people like, wait, what? That sounds pretty cool.
The devil.
The devil, you say. I'm going to go get into this Dungeons and Dragons. And then you sit down with like your dungeon master. You're like, when do we get to the devil?
Yeah, when do we get to the devil worshipping?
Devil worshipping? You've got to roll your stats.
What's your background?
Yeah, I mean, you could worship the devil, but you're not going to get any powers unless you're a cleric.
All right. Just to get it done over with, I made some pre-made characters for you. You are the Spruce Moose.
But... does he worship the devil?
Yes, you certainly can.
You can, but the devil's name is Asgabone, and he's actually chaotic neutral.
Yikes.
Exactly. And so people would go to games like Vampire because they were edgier, and by edgier I mean in quotes, because like the people...
I think they just rode the wave of the 90s goth scene.
Yeah, the 90s goth scene, but I mean it was edgier, and it was like... you would have like characters who were satanic or whatever, or like evil vampires.
It was also the first game that I can think of that was setting wise like our world.
Yeah,
like Vampire was like you were, but like the world of Vampire the Masquerade was the world of our 90s, like literally, like Chicago. They had like books Chicago by Night and like Detroit by Night.
Yeah, I guess it was like modern times 1990s because they had Modern Cthulhu, but I don't know when Modern Cthulhu. Dropped like around 5th edition.
Yeah, also was not nearly as large as Vampire.
It was not, but I'm just trying to think of at the time like games that took place in the real world.
Yeah, because well, there's a few that took place in the quote unquote real world, but most of them were.
It's real to me.
Most of them were different time frames. Like Cyberpunk 2020 is our world, but it's Cyberpunk.
It was 20 years in the future. 30 years
actually,
in the future.
It's 1 year in the future now. We're not in it. We're
getting there. The problem
there's some cyberpunk stuff. We've definitely got the dystopia down.
We're a boring dystopian cyberpunk future. We're the worst cyberpunk future out there.
Oh, man, if only we were cyberfunk.
Cyberfunk is completely different. That's what we're actually riding around in Bootsy Collins' mothership, you know?
Finally. I think I'm going to pick up some Starfinder stuff.
Why, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll get back to that. But what I was saying is that Vampire was edgy, and there would be stuff like your group gets gang raped, and people would be like, "Oh, that's terrible." But it was like,
They also differentiated those content was different because there was White Wolf. The game was the company was White Wolf.
Yeah,
they had a line of books called Black Dog,
which
were the 18 plus.
Yeah,
like. If you're doing something with the Black Dog book, there's adult content in it.
But that's what I'm saying is that nowadays is that you still have people who played back in the 90s, early 2000s, who thought that that was appropriate, trying to bring that into our modern world, which is where it is no longer.
Or you're just a shitlord.
Or you're a shitlord.
I'm going to go ahead and say that guy was on a power trip, and he was a piece of shit.
Well, yeah. It's not like White Wolf is... I don't know what game he was playing. He was probably playing Dungeons & Dragons, for all I know.
It was D&D.
It was
D&D. No question.
Yeah. Because I don't think they mentioned the game in the articles I read.
They probably couldn't. That's probably like not a probably not a viable legal strategy.
But we've talked about it before. It's true. We've talked about it before inside this on this cast before that the RPG world is much more different because it's much more inclusive. So you have companies like White Wolf getting in a lot of fucking trouble because they're putting in, like, Chechen massacres and, you know, like, really... What's non-inclusive verbiage?
Contemporary crimes.
Yeah,
they're putting contemporary war crimes in their book.
Yeah,
like, and being like, yeah, the vampires did it, and you're like, no.
Yeah, it's not like they're getting in trouble for not using neutral gender pronouns. They're using some like really homophobic and terrible language inside of their modules that are getting them in trouble. And Legend of the Flame Princess, same thing. Some of the artists. That's more.
Although I think Legend of the Flame Princess is less in the game and more out of the game.
Yeah. That's what happens when you got some shit lords working for you.
Yeah, it's true.
Or Norwegians. Sorry, Skander. Jens.
No, they're from Sweden.
I said Scandinavian.
That's Norway.
Norway and Sweden is both Scandinavia.
Nah.
Okay. I'm staying out of this one, guys. Guys, this is all on Steve there. I'm going to be a little bit more understanding of the Scandinavia. Because I believe Scandinavia is actually Norway, Sweden, and Denmark, and maybe Iceland, but I don't think it's Iceland.
Yeah, but if you lump them all together, they get mad because they hate each other.
Well, that's Scandinavia. That's the lumping. That's the one thing that you lump. It's like the British Isles actually does lump in Ireland into it. And so you're able to say that if you're in the British Isles.
Potato man. Ah, you're late.
You know, Ireland, blah, 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 potato famine, blah, blah, blah. Only thing we know about in America, Irish history. Sinead O'Connor ripping up a picture.
You're ripping up the picture of the Pope. Take that, you Pope.
And she was right. We fucked up. Obviously. That was all us.
Obviously. I mean, ripping up a picture of the Pope is a smart idea.
Well, yeah, but not in the 90s. Like, nowadays, we're like, yeah, fucking rip up a picture of the Pope. We don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean...
Even though I kind of like...
The current Pope is okay.
He's okay.
I mean, it's like, as far as popes go...
Yeah. I mean, like, he's... It's like when you're the you know, top of a poop mountain, you're still in a poop mountain.
King shit of crap mountain.
Yeah, king shit of crap mountain.
That's right.
Other stuff that came out of the UK Games Day is they showed another warband for Warcry, which I'm starting to get super psyched for that game.
It looks really cool.
I am...
Just make bird noises the whole time.
I totally could do it.
Yeah, and they're like, what's that guy's weapon skill? Just refuse to answer anything.
Pick up your models and then just swoop. They throw them at the other models. It's like swooping attack.
No, so you can't say anything. You just have to make bird noises. And if there's anything shiny, you just look at it and just like walk over to it. Just be easily distracted.
I just think of like the bird lady from the old Kids in the Hall sketch. Like, that's my house.
Yes, exactly. And you have to get up. You have to get a little bowl of Cheerios and like gingerly grab one Cheerio at a time with three fingers and just.
No. You lift it up and you put it above your head and you kind of swallow it like a duck. Yeah. Like... We went to the Lincoln Park Zoo yesterday and there were like flamingos were fucking going crazy and fighting seagulls.
Flamingos rule.
It was pretty fun to watch. But they previewed that. They also previewed some of the new big box games that are going to be coming out to the stores. What's it called? There's the arena game that they have where it's like a Rogue Traders. There's like a bunch of new plastic models that are coming out.
The big box store versions of like Kill Team and Shadespire and stuff.
Yeah, those are going to be.
The biggest Shadespire news, I think, is the digital version coming out.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. I don't remember if that was out before.
We haven't mentioned it. I don't know if it was, but...
Yeah, they're doing a online one that is... It looks really nice. I mean, by that, I mean it looks okay.
The graphics?
There's two problems with it, as I see. One is that warbands and the card packs are going to be DLC. You have to buy them.
Did you confirm that? Is that confirmed?
Yes, that is confirmed.
Oh, all right. Well, fuck that. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. Every warband, or is it going to be blocks? Because
that I do not know.
Okay. Because I was discussing, if they sell it as... So, if they sell each... If you have to buy each warband, depending on the price, that'll be... You know, we're going to throw that in the garbage. However... That's price dependent. Because I would be okay with buying each warband if the price was extraordinarily cheap. Also would be okay with buying them in a block. Like, they come out, like, the game launches with all of the core warbands, and then they sell the Season 2 warbands for, like, $10, and you get all of them.
Yeah,
pricing is going to matter a lot for that.
Yeah, and the other thing is it's only on Steam. That is the perfect mobile game. Why is it not a fucking mobile game?
Well, I mean, if they want to make... I have no idea what their plans are for it, but if they want to push it as an eSport, or any sort of like but the actual competition, they have to use Steam.
Agreed, but you could port it to fucking mobile.
But they can do that later.
Yeah.
If the port works, you can use your Steam.
It's not a really good eSport game though. It's a card game. It's a literal translation of the board game.
The counterpoint to that is people watch the fuck out of Magic Arena.
That's true.
Like Magic Arena is huge on Twitch. Like,
you know why it's huge on Twitch?
Huge.
Because you don't actually have to see the players. That's the reason why it's
huge.
But
they all use the face cam.
You
know what? I need to see the players. I need to see the man crouching by the ass crack and giving the prayers.
And it's also, you don't have to see the stink of the fucking actual game.
Yeah, but Smash Brothers is huge, and they prove that anyone will be around the stinkiest fucks imaginable. That there was
because you went to the frosty frostings.
Luckily, there was there was definitely some stank fucks, but nothing was legendary.
Nothing was legendary.
Nothing was legendary. So, like, I was pretty happy about that. Usually, like, I haven't encountered, like, any convention, like, the convention levels of stank. I don't know if we've ever ranked them, but, like I have to say, like, the Smash Brothers players in general are pretty nasty, like, overall. I think it's because they trend younger. And so they're just more filthy. And also the Smash Brothers have a story that is like unmatched in terms of like just being a degenerate gamer. A dude was in the grand finals of a Smash tournament and shit his pants in the middle of the grand finals, played out the grand finals and then left. He did win, but he shit his pants. And the tournament organizer was like, it still smells like shit in here. So that was the most disgusting thing I've ever heard as far as the Smash player goes. But overall, I think like I haven't hit an ultra stank since gaming conventions, like tabletop. Tabletop, usually I get hit with the ultra stank. And I think it's because like they've just like they come out of their like chrysalis like on their piles of like books and stuff and ooze out.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is just... it's just, but everything as everything.
Deodorant's $3. If you're too fucking lazy to take a shower, spend the $3 and just slather the fuck out of yourself in deodorant.
Yeah, there's just a lot of secondary and tertiary issues that are going on with a lot of gamers. And I think a lot of it's going away because, as I say, a lot of these hobbies are going more and more mainstream, which means that you're going to have a lot more normal human beings participating and who push shower and they're like, well, I don't want to play against this person who doesn't shower. And then the TO is like, you know what? I'm going to go with the new person as opposed to the old person because the new person actually buys shit because they don't have anything. And you are an old fuck who has had... who always comes in and says, why do I need to buy something new? I've had the same army since 1996. And he's like all the little fucking plastic goblins with all the spears broken. And you're like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, stinking up the joint.
Stinking up the joint with your nonsense. Get out of here. Get.
Get. He's like poking him with a broom.
Get. I was like, oh, my goblins. He falls on top of them, and they're all stuck into his chest.
Get. He's poking him while he's on the ground.
It's like, turns on the lights, and everyone's like.
They scatter like
they
roaches.
Scatter.
It's good.
Just beating him out with a broom, like get out of here.
Yeah,
like the old racist caricatures in Tom and Jerry, like the
Thomas.
Yeah, she's like, get out of here.
That's good. It was her cat.
It was her cat.
Actually, her character was inconsistent because sometimes she was just an old black lady with a cat. Other times she was the housekeeper.
Yeah,
didn't make any sense.
Well,
there was no consistency in that universe.
Well, sometimes there was a Bluto, and sometimes he was Brutus.
That's true, which is weird.
Yeah. I was gonna get some spinach. I'm gonna bang that hot ass olive oil. Oh, Doc, there's something wrong with me. My arms are too big. I'm gonna split her in half with me wanger.
Popeye didn't actually care about olive oil. He was a seaman.
I'm going to fill olive oil with my semen.
He was a sailor. He was about other men and being manly on the seas.
Do you think the entire conflict between him and Bluto was just their, like, taught homosexual relationship, like, coming to a head?
Yeah, 100%.
And they were using olive oil as, like, a prop in their love turmoil?
Yeah, in their sexual machinations? Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Do you think one of them was specifically the top in the relationship, or do you think it was a switch?
Well, I don't think either of them actually wanted to admit to it.
Right, but eventually that's going to come to a head.
more ways than one. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
All right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. The only thing that was wrong with it is the fact that they can't accept and be happy with who they are.
That's right.
That's the problem with it.
They don't need to be
in this quasi-angry this psychosexual relationship and bringing poor Olive Oil into it, who did nothing wrong to either of them.
Sinbad the Sailor.
I love that. That's I love the old Art Fleischer, Popeyes with Sinbad.
Fleischer's incredible. There's an old Disney quote, and he says he only had one competitor, and that was him. Fleischer was the only other animator that Walt Disney acknowledged as like an actual competitor for Disney.
It was like, because he's the one who's not Jewish.
Well, Fleischer, maybe.
I still don't understand that. You guys are big Disney fans, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least Cole is.
Yeah, I like Disney too.
Yeah. I can't get Disney love. Can't do it. I'm just not a Disney fan.
Did you not watch the Disney Afternoon as a child?
I did, but it's still, my problems
with...
What
about Darkwing Duck? When there's trouble, you call DW.
I just don't get it. I don't get, like, I watched a ton of Disney stuff, but like...
I mean, there's also levels of
there's girls whose Disney is their personality.
Yeah, there's definitely like the...
You guys
aren't
that bad.
There's like the Disney people, and you're just like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I...
It's like, I like Lord of the Rings. A lot.
I have friends who go to Disney regularly without their children. They like leave their children with their in-laws.
Well, yeah, that'd make Disney way better.
Yes, but it's different when you have kids. Like, you guys going to Disney, that's fine. You guys don't have kids.
Oh, like actually leaving our kids at home to go to Disney. I guess that's kind of a different thing.
Exactly.
I'll give you that.
You're like, you sit there and you think about it, like, yeah, that would make Disney better. But then you're like, wait a second.
I mean, also, you know, it would still make Disney better because you have to deal with your damn wiener kids.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that fact. No, my problem is people who are like, Disney has such great food. I'm like, no, Disney's food is terrible.
Disney's food is very up and down. Because when we went, I tried lots of different places. And like, I have to say, like, there were some places where I was like, that was phenomenal. Like the Avatar Land. Everything I ate at the Avatar Land was fucking incredibly good.
I ate Jake Sully's dick.
I did. No. It was a fucking blue pile, which I imagine was one of the blue people's shit. I ate a big Avatar cat person turd. It was amazing. All of the food at the Avatar Land was fucking incredibly good. And then, but Disney's like, it's fucking up and down. Like there's some restaurants where it's just like, like this restaurant was pretty. Like they're all expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't judge by like how expensive the restaurant is because they're all expensive.
Yeah.
But some of them were just like, I was like, this food is like, it was food. It was okay, I guess. But then there was like another restaurant. I was like, holy fuck, that was really good. The problem is there's no way to know. Like is there a pattern to which restaurants have good food and don't? There isn't. There isn't one. It's just a crapshoot. With the sole exception of, as long as they don't degrade the quality, since because we went when it was brand fucking new, just opened. So Avatar Land was like the big push there, and in our hotel room there was a channel that was just playing the movie Avatar on repeat. But the Avatar Land was fucking awesome. That was one of the coolest. Like the rides were awesome. The aesthetic was really cool. That was one of the best areas I've been to in a theme park ever.
Yeah. And
the food was fucking great.
I was looking at, because the Star Wars Land, we're actually planning a Disney trip in 2 years. Because
also, you can do the Edge of Tomorrow Star Wars Land.
Yeah, and well, it already opened, and my
what I'm saying.
And my and my son will be old enough at that point. He's still too young to go. But yeah, we were looking at just things, and I was looking at the menu for the little cantina there. You could buy it's actually got alcohol. They're serving alcohol there, but one of the drinks comes in a souvenir porg mug.
One quarter portion.
And it's $32.
Well, yeah, you gotta get,
like,
you gotta get a $32 porg mug. Supposedly that they made a poof up bread.
Yeah, and I was
that thing that he feeds Ray in the movie. Supposedly there's a thing where like they make it in front of you and they put like a little thing down and it poofs up and you can eat it.
Yeah. The and I was talking with my wife about it, And I was just like, $32 fucking. And she goes, well, I can expect for a drink like paying like $16. And I'm like, this is the difference between you and I, Diana, is the fact that I can't ever see spending $16 on a drink.
I mean, like, that's
got
to be an alcoholic drink in a theme
park. That's
got
to be grain alcohol for me to enjoy it at $16.
I'm trying to think.
Like,
yeah.
I have to be instantaneously fucked up from it to enjoy it at $16.
The floofy drinks are always expensive, but $32 is pretty out there.
I mean, for a souvenir mug. Yeah, and I was it sounds interesting. And I like that they're like they're enforcing a 4-hour limit on being in there. So that means like, and it's Disney, so you know that they're like, there's people who are
They're gonna escort you. They're gonna escort you off with stormtroopers.
Yeah,
they're escort you from the premises with stormtroopers.
That's the thing that I like the most is like, you're like, how the hell are they gonna maintain it? But I'm like, it's fucking Disney. They'll know.
The mouse knows everything.
M-A-U-S.
Yeah.
Das
Maus.
Yeah. And you know there are people who are fucking watching you, and they're like, you gotta escort that 6-foot-tall redhead with the beard out. He's been in here for 4 hours and 5 minutes. And I'm like, it's like my life meter, like Logan's Run, starts flashing on my hand. I'm like, no,
he's still getting belligerent, and they just start beating you with those shock rods.
Yeah.
Carousel.
Renew.
Just beating you with shock rods, and they throw you right out of the water's edge or whatever.
And they don't allow costumes. So adults aren't allowed to wear costumes in there, right?
You're not
so,
allowed to wear costumes at Disney.
Yeah, at Disney. Period.
And it makes sense why they don't allow that, because they have employees who are dressed.
Yeah, like, and also
you can't have that kind of.
And also, you shouldn't wear a costume as an adult anyway, outside of Halloween. Or some sort of convention.
Right.
I mean, when you're doing that at Disney, it's like, but you can wear is you can wear costumes that are not really known as costumes. So I could wear the Logan's Run, like, turtleneck with the flashy thing in my hand there, and no one would know I'm a Sandman.
It's true.
They wouldn't know.
A Sandman.
We got a runner.
They all run.
And you could come as the big robot who's like, plankton is the you know, fruit of the sea.
That's right.
I think he was played by Donald Pleasance in the movie.
That's a good movie.
It is a great. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a good
Donald
one.
And Logan's Run was probably one of the more formative movies of my youth.
Of your youth.
Of my youth. It was played on. They had it on Encore. Encore played it all the fucking time, and it had tits in there. So it's like. You know, a 13-year-old watching fucking Logan's Run. I was like, yeah, Jenny Guter. Nice. Renew. But yeah, and I'm having a hard time because, like, you know that they have the 4-hour limit there because there are adults who are just like, want to spend their entire fucking day there. That's all they want to do. Like, their entire life has culminated to the point where they can immerse themselves in a Star Wars theme park for.
They only play Star Wars games.
They only play Star Wars games. But that's what it comes down to. And
it's
you're
the
like,
worst.
Like, what they're going to do is they're going to go to Star Wars and they're going to go to Disney for like a week. And then every day they're just going to go there and do their 4 hours inside Skeleton.
Clock in 4 hours.
Clock in 4 hours. And they're like, well, can we go to some of the other parks? No, I'm only here for Star Wars.
I only go to Star Wars theme parks.
And they go in there and they get their blue milk. And because they're serving blue and green milk.
Ooh,
there.
Nice.
And it's a non-dairy, non-gluten beverage.
A non-nutritive cereal varnish.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like, I was reading it and I was like, wow, they literally made this so everybody could drink it and get no nutritional value from it whatsoever.
I'm sure there's vitamin F.
It's made of
drink plenty of milk.
Oh, why are my bones so brittle? And then the best part about it is too, is that you will see like someone will make a fake recipe for it where it's like, this is the best equivalent you could make of the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge blue milk. And people are like, oh, I've made that recipe. It's pretty good. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with all these people? What kind of world am I living in? And it's like where I have to shut down that part of the internet. Like if I could just compartmentalize the internet and like create some sort of
can't
like
escape.
Add-on where it's like, I'm going to eliminate all references to this. If this website mentions this, I want it to be quarantined so that I cannot go to this website.
You can mute certain words.
You can also use
several Chrome extensions which let you overwrite words.
Yeah, I've seen those.
So
yeah.
I thought it was really funny. One of the guys at work, he overwrote the word football with chungus. So anytime he was walking on his computer, he's just like, yeah, we got draft picks Chungus over here. It's just like Chungus. So it's like his fucking screen was hilarious because you just see like it's just like something Chungus. Just Chungus everywhere. Pretty great.
Yeah, Chungus. I like that meme. I'm Chungus. It's not dead to me. I'm okay with big Chungus.
Like they die in 3 days, so if you still like it, it's fine.
It's okay. Some people not a big fan of the Chungus. I like the Chungus.
I also like the Chungus.
Yeah, so
I believe in Chungus.
But yeah, that's not what I want. I kind of want to just, it's not the thing, right? It's not Star Wars Land, it's not Star Wars gaming. It's the fans. It's the people. They ruin everything.
Well, yeah, people ruin everything. Duh.
It's white people ruin everything.
That's
more
true.
Than anything. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Try getting brunch on a Sunday, man. It's physically impossible.
I would never try that, but I take your word for it.
Yes, it is. Well, what? I'm not saying brunch is bad. You'd love brunch. I mean, you can't eat half of it because you're pescatarian now.
And I can't drink mimosas. So
yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like the most important critical part of a brunch is getting absolutely fucking hammered before noon on mimosas, which I can't do.
No, see, I don't like getting hammered. I like getting a nice buzz. There's a difference. There's the people who get hammered and there's the people who level.
No, see, that's the thing. You level and you're like, yeah, this is good. And then you try to keep the buzz going, but you accidentally get hammered.
That's
on mimosas.
That's the great game, sir. That's the great game. I'm going to get just one Bloody Mary. They put it on the table. It's in a big fucking Chungus glass.
Yeah, and you're like, fuck.
It's like it's got an entire tropical forest on the top with Jake Sully riding a dragon through it. And you're like, God damn, that's a big ass Bloody Mary. Well,
chug.
I said I'd only drink one. Well, it's the equivalent of four Bloody Marys. So have fun with that.
Still in one container. Yeah, it counts as one.
It counts as one.
As the great Gimli said, it still only counts as one.
And it has like, what kind of vodka did you use in here? Is this well vodka? Well, it's actually lower than well vodka. We don't have a name for it yet, but it's all of the vodka that pools at the bottom of the bar rail.
If we were to give it a proof, we would say it's 1,000.
Just don't smoke around it.
Yeah, actually don't smoke for several hours after you've consumed it.
Yeah, it's made of the vodka from the drink well. After we pour the vodka and a little bit spills down the side, it collects at the bottom of the bar rail. So we just take that, we squeegee it down and put it into our brunch Bloody Marys. You can't tell the difference because tomato juice pretty much covers up the taste of everything else.
We call it vodka squeezins.
Ooh. I'm all about vodka squeezins.
Nice.
put a couple olives and some blue cheese on there. You got me set. I know you can't eat any of that shit anymore.
But it's cool. Yeah. It's okay.
I love it. I don't care. I'm on a diet too.
You don't need to care.
I've lost a ton of weight. I'm okay. I'm great. And eat some vodkas. Eat some vodka squeezes.
Well, I mean, there's always the vodka diet. You can eat whatever you want as long as it's vodka.
The vodka diet, the one thing your liver can't bounce back from. The liver, the most flexible organ in your body, where it's just like, I could take anything. Just keep throwing it at me. Keep throwing it at me. And I'm just like, what if I drink vodka? And it's like, no, man. No.
It's going to be a no for me, dog.
It's going to be a no for me. My buddy at work, he's an alcoholic. Not like a terrible alcoholic. He's a functional alcoholic. And he's like, yeah, I was worried about my liver. So I went to the doctor and he checked it out. He said, everything's looking good. I go, yeah, your liver is really, really good at doing this, its job. Now, think of all those people who have liver failure, how much you drink, and then think about what they have to do to have liver failure. And he's like,
also time.
He's like, oh, shit. Oh, man, they're real bad.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah. So, yeah, the only other gaming stuff I have is I just got some thoughts on the contrast paints.
I'm excited about them, but obviously haven't used them yet.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people, because people got some in advance, so I've seen some videos of them actually in action, like people sharing videos. They look fucking sweet. I'm very excited about them.
My favorite thing is that, so online there are three tiers of people who are talking about this, and it kind of corresponds to painting levels. So people who don't paint their shit or, you know, have trouble getting armies done are really excited about it. Especially newer players are like, oh, this is going to be fucking great. I'm going to be able to get some shit done. And, you know, I've seen the sprays that they do for underneath. They actually look really nice. They're very, very thin, which I was surprised about how thin the actual coat comes out on it, because, you know, I'm used to a thicker coat. Everyone's used to one thick coat.
One thick coat.
Yeah. So this is a nice thin coat with the spray on there. So they're very excited about it. They're like, this is great. Then there's the medium tier painters. These are the painters who think they are good painters because they're probably the only one of three people in their hobby shop who actually paints the models that they're putting on the table. Like, and everyone's like, oh, your models are really good because they're the only fucking painter in the thing. And they're always like, no, I don't want anything to do with these contrast paints. These are for people who don't know how to highlight or shade their models or use the technicals. I'm like, they're very crabby and very angry about it.
Trying to be elitists about paint.
They're trying to be elitist about paint. And then there's like the top tier players and the top tier painters. And these are, okay, let's not say like Golden Demon, but these are the guys who actually do full armies. They do nice stuff. They can compete in Golden Demon. Let's just put it that way. And they're like, I just want to see what I could do with this. I want to use it in every, you know, imaginable way. I want to use it in like Slaneshi ways.
I saw a dude, a Golden Demon winner who was painting some Skaven with them. And he painted two Skaven models. He's like, I did these in about 2 hours. And he's like, I need to stress this fact. There's nothing on this model other than the spray and contrast paints. And I was like, holy shit. Like, holy fuck. Like, it looked fucking ridiculous. And he's like, all it is contrast paints. And he's like, you can get so much work done by just varying your application and thinning and doing this and that, because it was a warp block engineer, and it looked like you did blending and highlights and all the shit. And he's like, there's just contrast paints. I was like, that is fucking insane.
Well, when I was talking with, you know, some high quality painters, and they were like, I want to see how this works over different colors. I want to see how this works. Like, if you
seen it over metallics, it looks very cool.
It does. The only thing with metallics is I want to know how many coats you have to do. That's the problem. So I want to play with that.
Nose.
But there's people who are like if I took a flesh color of the contrast and I painted it over, like, let's say a base coat of flesh, how is that going to work? Mm-hmm. How is that going to look? I want to see like what I can play with, what I can do, what I can manipulate with.
That's
these
what I'm
colors.
Doing now. My Nurglemans are they're airbrushed. They're like they're ready for contrast.
They're ready for contrast.
They're ready for contrast.
They're ready for contrast.
They're prepped.
They're prepped. I'm excited about it. I want to give it a try. I don't think that we're going to find out the actual cost sometime this week.
I think they're $7.
That we're going to find the actual cost out this week when they release the pre-orders are going to be. They're bigger. I think it's 10 milliliters.
Yeah, they're bigger than
the normal paint pot.
They're like, because I saw,
but they're smaller than
their,
the inks.
Than the old ones.
No, they're smaller than the big tall inks.
Oh, okay, right.
I think they're like 10 millimeters. I think the inks are 12.
Okay.
Which is still ridiculously amount of money for what you're paying, what you're getting there. So, I mean, I want to see how much they cost. I want to see how that works. From what I've been told, you're not supposed to dilute them. You're not supposed to use water.
They have a thinner.
Yeah.
A medium.
So it's going
to
be...
Water you're not supposed to use, but medium's okay.
Yes, medium is okay. It'll be interesting. I'm also interested to see when other paint companies mimic this, like how that will look, because that's what they're going to do. They're going to try and come up with their own.
Yeah,
if they're successful,
Army Painter will be the one to do it first, I'm sure.
Yeah, Army Painter or Vallejo.
Because Army Painter so far has been able to duplicate all of the like the special effects paints, like Blood for the Blood God and Nurgle's Rot and stuff. Like they have a patina as well, Nicola Oxide, same thing. They're the only ones that I know that actually do pretty well at duping the technical paints.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be the interesting part, to see where that goes how that happens. Because Games Workshop, I love them taking innovation and doing this stuff, but their fucking shit is overpriced for what it is.
Very expensive.
Yeah, and especially the fucking paints themselves. Your paints are great, but your paint pots are fucking terrible.
Well, they're made so you can spill them.
They're made so you can spill them. They're made so they dry out. You get next to no paint for that amount of money. I mean, it's like, what, $5 a tub and $5 a pot? And
I don't think it's that high, but it's still high.
Yeah, let's say $5. Just, I think it's like $4.50 in all honesty.
Yeah, well, they did just raise the prices for paint. Yeah. So
let's say it's $5, and you're literally paying for like half of what you get in a Vallejo bottle. And Vallejo is only like $3.25. It's ridiculous. And Vallejo is like, you're paying for $325, but you have to thin the fuck out of so much of your Vallejo or army painter or whatever that it's like you're buying like three times the equivalent of the Games Workshop. Like, yes, I appreciate the Games Workshop has thinned their paints, but when you thin your paints that much and you have to make us what's it called? And you're selling less of it for more, it's like, god damn.
If they say, less is more.
Ugh. Ugh. However, I do like the Soulstone colors, whatever it's called, like Soulstone blue, in those.
Yeah, they're cool. And then they're discontinuing their glazes, and they're bringing Forge World glazes up. So.
It's something. Something's going on.
Yeah, because Forge World has a series of glazes.
Something happening here.
And those are going to come to replace the GW range, which is going to discontinue. So.
I wonder if they're bringing back Sons of Horus Green. A lot of people got upset when that got discontinued. Where's my Sons of Horus Green?
all I know is that the glazes were one of the lines of paints that I bought all of, and I was like, I'm going to use these a lot. I think I've used them like once.
I use them all the fucking time.
I use them very much.
They're really good for 40K. You don't play 40K, so you don't need them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I use them
over armor and shit.
Yeah, over armor. It's basically the concept that I use it for. The thing that I fucking... This is what I tell people when it comes to painting, because... it's one of the things that I hate is I'm a teacher. I teach people on a daily basis. I have to pretend to be nice during my teaching to the students so that they feel like they're in a welcoming environment. But in my real life, like when people are like, oh, Joe's a teacher, he could teach me how to paint. I'm a fucking horrendous person to teach you how to paint because I hate it. I hate teaching you how to paint because I'm like, I took fucking 30 years, 20 years of my life learning how to do this, and you want me to teach you it in an afternoon? It's not going to fucking work. I'm an angry person. This is lifelong technique learned.
It's easy. You spray it, you wash it, you're done.
Yeah. So I get to that point, and then it's like these people who are like, oh, my Sons of Horus Green got discontinued. Well, that's your own fucking fault for becoming so fucking dependent on one color. I forget what colors I'm using 90% of the time.
If you use a color that much, you should have a shit ton of it.
Yeah. But as I'm saying, like, in the middle of a project, I will forget what color I am using. And, like, I'll be like, what color did I paint that pouch? Fuck it, I'm using this one.
It's brown now.
It's
bestial brown now.
Bestial brown.
Bestial brown.
You have to go back to the archives, like go back. Bestial brown.
And also... ghostly gray.
Some snake bite leather. Actually, they're bringing snake bite leather. It's one of the contrast paints.
Oh, nice.
They call it snake bite leather. Nice. Snake bite brown or whatever. Nice. I was like, nice.
That's cool.
That's fun. But yeah, I get like, I will forget. I have three different color grays that I use on a regular basis. I have like gray, green, London gray, and dark gray.
Well,
and I consistently forget which one I use.
The problem with trying to teach someone how to paint is like a lot of it is not. A lot of it's not viable. Like, I'm like, you need to line highlight that. And they're like, okay. And like, what's the line highlight? Well, you go like this with the brush. And like, I do it. And I show them, like, oh, that looks really cool. And then they try to do it and they can't. And it's just like, yeah, you have to practice doing that. Like, I can't teach you how to do that. Like, it's something where you, like, I can show you the concept, but application of said concept is up to you. Like, that's all it is. And then that's just the way, like, painting works. Like, you can teach people theory, and you can teach people how things are supposed to work, but actually, because it's a mechanical skill. Is that right?
It's a
physical, mechanical skill set that, like, you can't teach that. You can show someone, but, like, they have to learn it themselves. They have to train
you could do it. It's like occupational therapy. But let's say my buddy Chris, I've been showing how to do some painting stuff with. He's a guitar teacher, right? So he teaches people how to play guitar. And I've said to him before, I'm like, teaching you how to paint would be the equivalent of you teaching me the opening of Classical Gas.
Now play Classical Gas.
All right, so we're getting towards the end here. Do we have any other gaming stuff that we want to talk about? And there wasn't much news in the last 2 weeks. I mean, there has been, but there's not
much ado about nothing.
Just a lot of stuff that I'm kind of like, meh. All right.
I got Skyrim VR.
Oh, they're doing a Skyrim board game too.
Oh, the Skyrim Minis game. That's right.
Skyrim Minis game.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? It's not Skyrim. It's Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, it's Elder Scrolls.
Elder Scrolls are doing a full. The first mini they showed was the Skyrim guy though.
Yeah.
The Dragonborn. But it sounds cool. I think it's gonna use the same engine as the Fallout game.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
that's a really fun and very good engine, so I support it. That game will be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it should be. I mean, it'd be nice to get some, like, fantasy-esque minis on there. There's no reason why it can't work.
No, absolutely. And that's a great setting for warbands too. So, like, it'll be really good.
Yeah, I don't see that being anything bad. The only problem is it'll probably take away from some of the Fallout players. This one,
I don't know if it will, because I mean, I'm gonna just keep playing Fallout. I'm not gonna jump to the Elder Scrolls game, but I think there's a lot of video game crossover there. But I don't know if there's going to be a lot of tabletop game crossover.
Could be, yeah.
Because I think if you were specifically into, like if you wanted to play the Fallout, like, you want to play the Fallout minis game because that's what you're looking for. You're looking for that post-apocalyptic / Fallout thing. Yeah. I don't think you're going to immediately jump to
Elder Scrolls. Well, what I see is fun about Fallout, I mean, you might think differently about this, but when I see Fallout, the most fun thing that I see about that is the terrain. Like, the post-apocalyptic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like,
The retro 50s.
Retro 50s style terrain.
Yeah, it's cool. Retro cool. Future 50s.
Yeah, that's cool to me. Like, just being like, oh, I get to make a diner.
Yeah, vending machines. Yeah, it's
and cool.
Cool
stuff like that.
That's awesome.
It's the same, like Tim wants to do a zombie apocalypse game so bad. And the only reason why he wants to do that is because he wants to do, like,
ruined buildings.
Ruined buildings that are, like, but not, like, 40K ruined buildings. He wants to do, like, shopping malls and like convenience stores, sure, and things like that, which is cool, but
chopping mall,
yeah, but you can't,
there's no chopping in that movie.
Yeah, and that's what's not cool to me. Like Fallout, I'm like, eh, I don't really care for the video game. I'm not like, but I'm like, some of this terrain I've seen on, like, to make for the STLs for 3D printing, I'm like, this would be pretty cool to make.
Yeah, I have the gas station piece, which is really cool. I like it a lot. And they're doing a crashed vertibird, which is looks awesome.
Yeah, but that's for Skyrim. You don't really get that because it's just standard fantasy terrain.
It'll just be normal, like, you know, trees and stuff. Yeah. Although Skyrim, they could do their, like, you know, those things where you get the dragon words. Those like big bas relief is what they call them.
Yeah.
They could make those, which will be cool. They can definitely do some nice Elder Scrolls terrain, which will also work in your whatever fantasy game you're playing, which is cool.
Well, that would translate well into just about anything fantasy.
That's one. I guess that's one of the things that's nice about it is, like, it's kind of like that's the double edged sword, because it's like it's not going to be, most likely it won't be anything where you're like, wow, that's super cool, because it's just terrain.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you're going to have more more multifaceted use for it, because it's like with Fallout, I think the terrain's fucking incredible looking, but, like, it's a ruined diner. I can't use that for my Age of Sigmar game.
No, you can't. But you could maybe use that for 40K.
You could probably use it for 40K.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit of a stretch.
As I've said, I've seen people use worse on their tables.
Sure.
There's, trust me, anything that you put on the table that's nice and painted and actually a full piece of terrain is going to look nice.
Yeah.
Okay, as long as you don't put it on a square base. Like,
yeah, that's although there's
round the fucking edges, Steve.
You can get away with it on city block buildings. Like, there was a few that had, like, I saw they did the, like, there was an Imperium, like, square of buildings, and they all had very straight
it's
rectangle
bases. It's the exception
bases,
that proves the rule.
Yes,
is what it is.
Exactly.
But yeah, the Skyrim stuff could be relatively cool. It goes down to what I've been saying in the past, and that I'm finally glad that some people are, for some odd reason, the gaming industry is actually coming around to a lot of the things that I've been saying for years. One of the things that I've been saying is that games need to have set lives, like Fallout, for example. I mean, I know you love Fallout. I'm not a huge fan of it, but it should have, like, a 1 to 4 and, like, a 4-year time limit, and saying, like, look, we're only going to be producing this game from 2000 to 2000.
Oh, like a season.
Yeah. Like, or let's say we're going to be producing this game from 2019 to 2023. This is the only time that this game is going to be produced. And then after that, it's going away. It's going to go out of print. So, you know, get it now if you want to play it. And then maybe in 5 or 6 years, or they could bring it back, you know, and put it back into print and say, like, you know, some new stuff or a new edition of the rules. But you have a set life, and you tell people the set life of the game. So that way they know that, like, oh, shit, this is going to go away after a certain amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to play it.
Rather than just letting them organically go away like most games?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I talked to some people, and, like, the main reason that would hold that back is game stores, because game stores wouldn't want to have something that they can only have in store.
Yeah, you don't want to give expiration. That's sticking expiration dates on your games would negatively impact your sales, no question.
However, if more games started doing that and people realized that it would go out of print and thus become rare and thus become expensive,
I think the best way to do that functionally would be to meet in the middle of it. So like let's use Fallout as an example. The core game will not be going out of like this edition of the core game will be in print for 2 years or whatever. After those 2 years, we'll be doing a new edition of the core game, so on and so forth. The expansion boxes will only be in print for blah blah blah. Like
yeah,
and then you rotate through your product like that. Like the game, you don't put an actual expiration date on your game, but you rotate through the product line. That's magic, because that's what magic does. Because magic's like everything is gonna go out of print after X years. Period.
Yeah.
But like they have no like they're gonna print magic until people stop buying it, which will pretty much be never.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is. I don't know if it's the best way or an interesting way. I think it's a new way of doing things that would revitalize the industry, because right now...
Plus, you can always go back and reprint.
Yeah, exactly. And right now, what are gaming stores doing? They're sitting on a fuck ton of product, because board games just keep printing and printing and printing, and you never know.
Board game sales are going down. There's too many.
And no one knows what's going to hit, so they try to stock a little bit of everything, and then one game hits, and then they can't get it in the fucking store.
Yep.
Because that's what
it
is.
And they're sitting on dead product. They're trying to get a game that they can't get.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, absolutely.
So what you do is you build up hype, say this game is only going to be... You say this core game is going to be around for four years.
This is the core game for 3 years.
Yeah, this is the core game for 3 years. We're not saying we're going to do another edition after that, but this game is only going to be in print.
Yeah. We'll change the models. Like, something will be changed. Maybe not a new edition, but there's going to be new factions in the starter or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever have you. This is what it's going to be for this X amount of time. People can be like, and it's like, you pump it, you say, this is what it's going to be. You could have the stuff in your store for 3 years, and then after that, you don't have to fucking have it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could do it like, it's almost similar to Gundam style. So the way Gundam kits work is like, There's like a thousand or more Gundam kits. Like, there's so fucking many. But the way Gundam works is they go, these are the 10 kits that are coming. And they print them, and they're done.
Yeah.
And then they will go back, and then they'll do reissues, but it could be years. Like this mobile suit hasn't been in print for 2 years. Like, that you missed it when it was in print. Oh, but it's coming back this wave. Like, it's going to be that's how they work their stock. They do not keep their like 1,000 kits in print. They do print waves. Like,
speaking of Gundam, something I meant to ask you before is: have you ever used the Gundam paints?
I've used the Gundam markers, which are really nice.
Yeah,
I've never used their paints. No. I think they're just Tamiya.
Yeah.
I don't think they're
little squeeze bottle like mecha paints. I think. Is
yeah,
what they're
yeah.
Called.
I think it's just Tamiya.
Yeah,
but they're. Their markers, the Gundam markers, are awesome.
Yeah.
They're very cool. They're
I saw them the other day, and I never, like, I was like, I wonder how they are. I bet you Steve's used those.
The Gundam markers are basically, they have different heads. Like, there's, like, wedge, and there's, like, point. But what they are is they're essentially paint inside of a pen. It's like a paintbrush. So, like, you can use, like, the orange wedge, and, like, because that's what I did for a commission a long time ago. But I did, he wanted very, very... Like, I want the tactic, like the squad markings on my shoulder pads, and I was just like, I don't want to hand paint that. And I was just like, oh, Gundam markers. And I just grabbed Gundam markers, and I was just like, tactical, and it was like, oh yeah. Like,
yeah, boy. Yeah,
it was because it's like, it's made, like, it's a pen, so you just draw it on.
There's a German company that does some nice stuff like that. I've gotten it Dick Blick. I think it's just called Blick, but I like to call it Dick Blick. Still. But yeah, that's I use the Tamiya tape too, the little
nice
masking tape that they have. All right. I think that's about it. So go to Planet Arbor.
You're still doing it.
Yeah. Go to Game Classy Podcast Facebook page. It's the best way to get in contact with us. You can, if you like our Facebook page, you can talk to us. Tell us dumb things. Tell us news that we're hoping to break on the podcast. Anyway,
give me something to break.
Give me something to talk about, because we're gonna do is we're gonna sit and talk about. You know what we didn't talk about today? The end of Game of Thrones. That's the exact sound that people online were making too.
There were a lot of people who were about it. I don't know. I mean, it was like viewed by like 14 million people. So yeah. Sure. If 2 million people hated it, that's still only 2 million out of 14 million.
Oh,
not
you were
to the 2 million.
You were disappointed by something you love. Welcome to life.
I didn't think it was. I don't know. People were just like it. The level of vitriol about it seemed kind of ridiculous to me. I was just kind of like, I don't know. Like, I felt I was just like, okay. Like that when I watched it, I was just like, okay. Like that was like the
end. You know why?
I was like, okay.
Because you're 38 years old and you've been disappointed by many, many things in your life, just like I have. Okay. You're not 38, but I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the thing I cared most about was the Clegane Bowl, and that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. But, like, once that was over, I was just like, after the end of that, which was the fifth episode, after the fifth episode, I was like, I don't care about any of the characters that are left. I was like, that was what happened. Like, at the end of the episode, I come to the realization that, like, the characters that remained in the show didn't care. And I was just like, huh, all right. And then, like, I don't know, the ending.
The only thing I cared about was Jon Snow got to go off and have his... with his gay best friend.
Don't
and go on
you forget about me. I think that I will not argue. It definitely felt undeniably rushed because they wanted that Star Wars money.
They wanted sweet, sweet Star Wars money.
They wanted sweet, sweet Star Wars money.
We only make Star Wars movies.
We only make Star Wars shows now. But like, I don't know. It was okay, I guess. Like, yeah. I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was as like people are just like, bah! I don't know. Whatever. I don't like getting into discourse about pop culture anymore. I'm too old for it.
Exactly. I'm just like, whatever.
I don't know. It was fine. Like,
listen, man.
That was. But that's the problem. Like, I don't have strong feelings about it because I felt at the ending. I was like, yo, it's fine. Like. Yeah. Was it great? No. Was it terrible? No. It was fine. It was like, it was okay. Like, what did you expect? Like, what did you want?
Well, it's the
want?
Same thing about people who get mad about, like, Infinity, about Endgame. It's just like, chill the fuck out, dude. Just, it's a thing. It's, there's no, nothing in life matters by this.
I don't know. I mean,
there
I get,
are
like,
people dying in the streets of certain countries.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you can be critical about, like, pop culture, but, like, people take it a little
seriously. Because that becomes their life. It's like when a Disney is your personality, you know, that's the shit that happens.
Fandoms have grown to an unreasonable level at this point.
That's why we need a culling.
hey, we discussed our culling plan. I listened to a Goosebumps podcast called Goosebuds, and they also have culling plans.
Culling plans.
Yeah, their culling plans is pretty good. One of them was like, first of all, you just take 40% of the population, bam, kill them. And I know that I'm probably in that 40%. Doesn't matter. Kill them. He's like, that's the first step.
40% is generous. Yes, so go to planetarbitrary. God damn it, go to gameclassic.com. Cullingplans.com.
No, listen, it's just a thinking exercise about genocide. That's all this is, man. Hey, I still stand by. I think I have the best one. The first question is just, is the earth flat?
Yes.
And if you say yes, it then goes, are you sure? And if you say yes, bam, they kill you. that's the first question.
Question three after that. Do vaccines cause autism?
You say yes. Are you sure? You say yes, they kill you. Yeah. That is it. All of them do need the are you sure. Like, yep. Like that is, I'm going to give people that. I'm going to give people the, are you sure?
Yes. Do vaccines cause autism? Yes. Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. If you go, no, but if you go, no, they'll be like, all right. And then
you know, question five.
Yeah. I like it.
So yes. And then, you could also go to, my Instagram page, which is, Game Classy Joe. You see all my painted stuff, all my painted models. Also a good way of getting in contact with me. I know a lot of fans of the podcast do it that way as well, who don't like Facebook.
Hey, you can pay for Instagram followers. It's like $5 and you can get yourself 40,000 followers.
Yeah, I don't need to do that.
Yeah, but you could be all big pimping. You could be I have over 40,000 followers on Instagram.
I like the organic way that I grow Instagram followers. Because I have more Instagram followers than I do than we have Facebook fans at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I had like... for when I was active on Instagram, like paint, like showing, doing models, I got like up to a fucking 1,000 followers. And I was just like, why? What the fuck? I just posted random shit and like it just snowballs.
Yeah. Yes. So then you could also listen to the best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. It's Game Classy Podcast on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You can say whatever you want in the comments. I don't give a shit.
I would actually really enjoy, like, I actually have a suggestion. I was thinking about this the other day, but if you give us a 5-star review, I would absolutely love if your review had nothing to do with our podcast. like 5 stars and then write like a,
just some copypasta.
Copypasta or like write a review that for a podcast that isn't ours.
Yeah.
Like for the Bob Vila, like homeowners, like extravaganza,
you know,
podcast.
You know, a lot of those guys, like the people who do the, you know, This Old House did not like Bob Vila. I found out that he was a
Because he was the Hulk Hogan of home improvement shows.
He was the Hulk Hogan of home improvement shows.
Yeah, like everyone hates the Hulk Hogan guy.
Yeah,
because dude, the wrestlers fucking hated Hogan.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a great comparison.
Yeah, well, I mean, so Hogan specifically is a really good one because they felt that he was like unjustifiably popular, which I agree with. Like Hogan was not a very good wrestler.
But
he was popular.
Let's do a series of RPGs based on like real world like jobs. That people like, you know how like Train Simulator is super popular in Germany.
Train Simulator is just super popular. That game is fucking
huge.
Farm simulators in
Germany are like super huge. Like people will spend their entire days doing this. I'm just saying Germany because I know that Germany is very popular. Let's do a series of RPGs like home renovation RPG. And basically what you do is the game master takes you through like a home renovation process, and it's literally like, all right, so we're gonna go to Home Depot and we have to pick up some, and it's like you running through like these stupid like everyday things, but it's just normal everyday, like we're gonna fix up an 18th century farmhouse, and it's like that's the module.
You've gotta have a Dutch colonial.
Yeah, like a Dutch colonial module. And you the game master takes you through like, oh, I found some dry rot in the basement, what are you gonna do?
Ooh, and take a roll. Ooh, black mold.
Black mold. You're gonna.
This one's gonna be a tough one to flip.
Mary, we're gonna lose our shirts on this house.
You're gonna balance your budgets.
Yeah, you gotta balance the budgets. You gotta make sure you could flip it. You're flipping the house. That's what you gotta
do. White people flipping houses.
That's what. This is what we gotta do. This is that's that is. It
white
sounds,
people renovating houses. The tabletop RPG.
I like the concept of it being called white people flipping houses, yeah, the RPG.
White people renovating houses in the RPG.
Yes, I like, yes, renovating houses, the RPG.
The tabletop RPG.
Yeah. And so you could actually like have like product catalogs as like your supplements. Like we don't have to do any work. We just go to like fucking Rockler Woodworking and get their catalog.
Take their brands off and put our own.
Put our own on there. Literally do no work. Rebind it. And that's our module that we give out. So people are like, oh, I like these brass hinges. They only cost $15 a piece. Can we put, is that within our budget line? And the other player's like looking through it and he's like, yes, but we're going to have to cut back on the brush steel nickel, you know.
Roll for open concept.
Roll for open concept.
Yeah, we're definitely going to need an open concept here.
I think this will work. It's the most boring RPG.
Look out, the breakfast nook!
It's the most boring RPG in the world, but that's it. And then at the very...
Hey, look, man. They had a fucking... what was it? leverage RPG.
Or we could make it so that it's fantasy-based. So, like, you're an orcs renovating a house. Like,
oh, nice.
So, like,
this hobbit hole's got a lot of dry rot in the wood.
Yeah.
We're going to have to pull that out.
Okay. So you don't have any refrigeration units and you just keep all your food inside of a pantry? Yeah, that's how we do it here.
Mostly just cheese.
Mostly just cheeses. Well, I guess if you want the art, like it's just like super boring, like straightforward. It's
pies.
Yeah, no action. You don't have to roll for like a lot of things. You just, you know, it's just a lot of like, well, we're gonna do this. We're gonna build it up and do it this way. And at the end, you fight a dragon. That's what it comes down to.
No. The dragon's pissed because you renovated his cave shittily.
Or, yeah, something like that. You know. You know,
like these treasure piles aren't big enough. I think, I wish I had a hobbit hole.
You see my concept. Like, it's like this sounds
I
super
see your
boring.
Open concept,
but it's like people in Germany will play this game. Someone will play this game. I think that would be the most interesting. Like, white people flipping houses, or we could say elves flipping houses. That would be the name of the concept. All right, so yeah, best way to help out the podcast, like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You can also like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. Some people do. I don't understand why, but they do.
I told you. It's because you can, if you have one of the YouTube apps, you can queue up a bunch of podcasts. People love doing podcasts. There's a reason a lot of podcasts go up to YouTube, because a lot of people use the YouTube player, and you can make a playlist of your podcasts.
You want
to
know what annoyed me? I was looking for...
The Noid?
Yes. Avoid the Noid! That guy got... whose name Noid got and went insane and killed a bunch of people.
Wasn't he dressed as the Noid?
No, he was just a guy whose last name was Noid.
I thought there was a dude who was dressed as the Noid and shot people too.
That might happen, but what
both a guy named Noid and a guy dressed as the Noid.
Well, that was the thing, is because, you know, it was the 1980s, so people took shit way too far in the 1980s. So he was
as opposed to now, where they take shit way too far.
In the 80s, it was worse. I will stand by that statement.
Because there was less things.
Yes, because there was less things. So people, like, fucking, like, where's the beef was a national phenomenon, Steve.
Did they ever find the beef?
No, but Walter Mondale used it as a presidential slogan in 1984. That's how bad it was. Clara Peller was a fucking... People remember Clara Peller's name. But there was, yeah, there was a guy named Noid who, like, people were like, avoid the Noid. And it, like, truck and drove him insane and he killed people. Yes. You can also listen to our sister podcast, Shin Playon Podcast Neo.
Shin Playon Pod Neo.
Damn it! Shin Playon Pod Neo.
Almost.
And then you also have Deconstructing Daycare, where you can listen to both of those, and it's kind of our big family of podcasts and fun stuff. So, Steve, until next cast...
It could be bigger than Pokemon?
Game Classy.